My man, Mike Smith, joining me. Legendary jockey. Mike, it is so good to see you. How are things, bud?
Be on.
It's always good to have you on. So before we talk horse racing, Mike, I know you've got a pretty good stick. Have you played this course, and how does it treat you?
It's been a while. I haven't got to play for a while. I kind of had a little bit of a shoulder injury about a year and a half ago, and I just kind of stayed away from the golf now. I'm feeling great as far as my shoulder goes, but I don't know. I want to be swinging it and mess my main game up, and that's right.
You know, have you not played golf in a year and a half?
Yeah, about that long.
Do you miss it?
Yeah, I mean, I miss it, but I like my shoulder feeling good more than anything.
You know, something about golf. Every great athlete I know, not everyone, but most of them love golf because it's the great equalizer, right? They can so dominate and master their technique and their craft, but you never get there with golf. As somebody who's dominated a sport for as long as you have, what do you like about that sport? What's it do for you when you play?
Golf?
Yes.
It gets me angry most of the time. It's supposed to be relaxing, but all my friends seem to be a little bit better than me, and they wind up taking what my wages away that I've made over the week. So it's kind of done me some good to stay away for a little bit.
Sounds like the worst sport ever, Mike. You're a pretty prideful guy, and you're going to be very responsible with your money. I'm not sure what you get out of that game now.
You know, it's nice to get out and just get out with friends and just hang out and talk life.
It's good. Mike Smith joining us. He's a Hall of Famer, the leading jockey in Breeders' Cup history. I know that from experience. He won us a couple of those trophies. Mike, go way back. What was it like growing up in Roswell, New Mexico? And as a kid, did you ever dream that you would go on to become a world-class athlete and one of the best to ever do it?
You know, it was great growing up around there, first of all, because I was surrounded with horses. So, I got to, practice my craft quite a bit. But it was more quarter horses. Jim, what the difference is. One's kind of a dragster compared to, a NASCAR or whatever. But at least I got a chance to get on a whole lot of horses, and it really, really got me going, where I learned my horsemanship anyway before I went on to the bigger leagues, and then really got into some great horses, as you well know. I've been so blessed to have done so well these last few years, but coming from New Mexico was always a good time. It's good to go back.
Every time you come on, the folks from back there always want to tweet, they want to email, and they talk about how proud they are of you and how you've represented them so well. You mentioned the fact that you've been on some great horses, Mike. The fact is, you were on the back of another legendary horse in Justify. What was it like to win the Triple Crown this far into your career at age 52?
I'm so glad that I even got to win a Triple Crown. But I think winning it at this age even means more because you just appreciate everything more as you get older. And now at the back end of my career, what a way to kind of, not that I'm planning on anything anytime soon, as long as I stay healthy, I like to go another three or four or five years. But I know that if I won it in my 20s or my 30s, I wasn't going to appreciate it like I do now. It's been life-changing, to be honest with you.
Mike Smith, my guest, Tom Brady's talked about playing four or five more years. He's 41. He's still at the top of his game. You're 52. You're still at the top of your game. How do you approach it? How have you managed to stay that sharp, that competitive, that long? And what is your approach? What is your process?
Well, if I did anything right early on in my career, it was take up physical fitness, which, believe it or not, in almost every sport, it's a big thing. But as a rider, it wasn't. A lot of riders thought that they'd get too heavy, if they went into the gym and they worked out, which was, they're just really misled. They never really had hired the right kind of people, to teach you how to work out, not necessarily bulk up, but to get stamina and different kind of training. I've hired good trainers at a young age, and it became a way of life for me. It's not just a hobby. It's something I have to do at least 5 days a week. So if I did anything right, that was taking that up, because now in my later years, I can still take the young guys into the gym and still hang with them.
What's that like when you bring the young guys in?
I love it. I still love it. I really do. I feel that I'm every bit as fit now, Jim, if not even fitter than I was when I was in my 30s.
Mike Smith joining us. Let me ask you this. If you're in that kind of shape, and the end is nowhere in sight as far as I'm concerned, but every great athlete ultimately will come to grips with this, something inevitably goes. What do you think goes first in your case? Will it be the will to prepare and put in the work, or your skills? What's going to go first?
Wow. They always say legs. They always say for riders, legs. But I'm in pretty good shape. I think when I'm not enjoying it as much as I am right now, that's when it'll be time to hang up. blessed to have done very well and to be smart about my money and put things away. So that part I'm okay with. You know, right now I'm having just as much, if not more fun, riding. So as long as that stays, I'll continue to ride. And once that starts to slip and I'm dreading going into the jocks room instead of can't wait to get there, then it'd be time to hang it up.
We're talking to jockey Mike Smith. Something else about that. Mike, there's so many things about your sport that are so different than any other sport. But even like going into the jockey's room, I mean, you don't have other professional teams that are going out there to beat the hell out of each other, dressing together and hanging out together. But then you go into a jockey's room where you guys are constantly battling and competing and you're all in the same space. What's that like? Who runs that room?
It can get a little heated every now and then, but you know, all in all, you spend so much time together. You know, you really, you're family. But you know, once you put them silks on and walk out the jocks room door, of course you're battling against each other. But you know, you learn to get along. It teaches you to get along because you can get pretty upset with somebody, and you got to learn how to handle it when you get back into the room. They fine you nowadays too much money if you get into a little you know, a little fight, and they'll actually suspend you. So you have to learn to control yourself and be able to forgive and forget.
You know, it's the worst analogy ever, Mike, but like, you don't want to drive angry, right? You don't want to hit the road and be emotional. So if something's going down and you've got other guys, we're talking about animals that are more than 1,000 pounds, running at a high rate, it's extremely dangerous. The last thing you want is somebody out there who's not right of mind or who's in a bad way or a bad place. Does that concern you? What happens then?
Well, I mean, if you have a beef with somebody, it certainly can be concerning. But all in all, to be honest with you, even though we walk back into the same locker room, we all handle it pretty well, man. And every now and then you'll have something. But by the end of the day, you've pretty much made up and everything's, you know, back to normal.
And there's a fundamental level of respect because you're all out there and you know what's at stake. You know, you've been asked so many times because you've ridden so many amazing horses, who's your favorite? And you've always been very careful not to say that or who the best is. But Justify might be different than all of the rest. Is that the best horse you've ever been on?
He's certainly by far the best three-year-old I've ever been on. You know, I like to categorize them. I mean, because they're all different. But I've never seen, and I don't think we'll. I'm not too sure we'll ever see a horse do what he did in 112 days. You know, this horse, you know, was training just 112 days and won the Triple Crown. I mean, that's just incredible. You know, the job that Bob Baffert and his crew did to get this horse through the Triple Crown was, in its own right, would probably put him in the Hall of Fame if that's the only three races he ever won.
So, is he the horse of the year, or does Accelerate have something to say about that?
Although Accelerate had a great year, how can you deny a Triple Crown winner, an undefeated Triple Crown winner? It'd be almost impossible what he was able to pull off. You know, you got to remember that Triple Crown races aren't races you can, you know, you have to run in those races. You know, once you become an older horse, you can point for a race and kind of train up to one. I mean, it is just what it is. You have to just run in these three races, and you know, even if you come out with a little body sore or this and that, I mean, they got to figure out how to get this horse right back in 2 weeks and then 3 weeks going into the Belmont, which is almost impossible.
Insane. It's incredible, really.
It really is. So again, you know, the job that Bob did to get this horse through the whole thing is just out of this world.
What do you think would have happened? Yeah, maybe it's not the best question to ask, because how do you not give a Triple Crown winner the Eclipse Award? But had they met in the Breeders' Cup Classic, what do you think would have happened?
Justified by five.
By five.
Yeah, you know, Jim, I don't think we saw the best of this horse. You know, he came out of the Triple Crown with a little wear and tear on him, and he was going to need, you know, a good 60 days to recover from it, and that wouldn't have given him enough time to run into the Classic. But if he'd have come out in good order, you know, where they could have, I can't see anybody beating him in the Classic.
Mike Smith joining me for a few more moments. You know, Mike, you've got one of the great nicknames in the sport, or in any sport, Big Money Mike, because you always come through when the stakes are highest. You know, I ask this of every great athlete, and I know you'll say to me, I've been really blessed to ride some amazing horses, and you have, but the fact is, you're at your best on the biggest stage. You've proven this time and time again. Can you consciously dial it up for the big races? Is there something you do?
You know, yeah, you can, and I do. To be honest with you, Jim, there's something about, man, that pressure that I'm addicted to it. You know, it really makes me raise my game to a whole other level. It makes me focus. It for some reason, it slows things down for me. You know, I can see the race just slows down for me. Believe it or not, even though you're going a little over 40 miles per hour. You know, with inches within each other, for me, it just seems the picture just gets bigger. It gets, You know, as long as I can get my horse into a happy place, a good, happy rhythm, then I just map out the trip from there. And man, I can't wait for a big race.
You know, Mike, you've won so many big races for us. We've had some amazing times and amazing memories. You rode Misdirection to 2 Breeders' Cup wins. And, of course, you were on the back of Shared Belief, who tragically died at the age of 4 after losing that battle with Colic. You and I have talked about the champ in the past. For those who don't know, what was Shared Belief like as a horse? And I'm not looking for you to say that he was the best, but was he in the conversation with the best that you've ridden?
Oh, without a doubt. And again, we didn't get to see the best of him. I mean, he was just really starting to come into himself. But he was an extremely athletic horse. You know, you've seen so many pictures of him, you know, up high in the air jumping because he loved to play and kick and buck all the time. I mean, he was just full of energy. For a horse lacking maybe a little bit of size, I mean, he had that much more heart and more. He was a fighter. And you ever got him into a head-and-head battle down the lane, well, I don't think there was ever a time that he did get beat. You know, I mean, he always came first whenever you were in a head-and-head battle. He wasn't going to let nobody beat him.
Only once. You know, we had the unfortunate thing in West Virginia, but only once. And to your point, that wasn't his fault coming out of the gate in the Classic.
No, that he didn't even get to run. I felt something right away in that. But the only time was the misfortune, of course, was the Breeders' Cup, but where he didn't get his chance to really show who he was. You know, he still finished fourth after getting, you know, just eliminated several times in the race. And still only, you know, getting beat a couple of lengths.
3.5 lengths, maybe. And even in the very end, I thought he's still going to run them down. Like, I think even in defeat, that might have been one of his finest moments ever, the way he did not spit the bit. He didn't give in. He just kept battling.
Without a doubt. I mean, there's no telling how many lengths he lost getting, you know, just eliminated from the start, halfway down the stretch the first time, and then down the backside as well. I mean, he just never got a break and still ran as well as he ran. It's a pretty, pretty incredible race.
Couple of thoughts, Mike, really quickly. What about the race here? Since we're in San Diego, one of his greatest moments, I thought, and one of our greatest memories, was when you won the Pacific Classic at Del Mar. This is an amazing race, arguably the most important race on the West Coast. He did it as a younger horse. He did it as a 3-year-old. I know you've ridden thousands of winners, but what do you remember about that day in that race? Do you?
Yeah, he was just driving your favorite sports car, man. I mean, he was on the bridle the whole time. Everywhere I pointed, I mean, he was just eager to go. He had such a good trip that day, and I remember, you know, heading for home and just kind of easing him out, and the race was pretty much over. He just took off with. We beat, I believe it was Toast in New York. Was it Toast in New York?
Toast in New York.
I believe
he held
it was
off.
Toast in New York.
Game on Dude, too.
Game on Dude was in there. Who I wind up riding later on and having a whole lot of success. So to beat a horse like Game On Dude.
No,
which,
Mike, you had the choice between that day, didn't you? You had the choice of mounts
between
Game On Dude, who had won that race and was an incredible horse, and Share Belief. And I remember thinking, Mike's getting off that horse. Come on, our horse. This is great.
Yeah, I did take off with him, and I'd won several grade ones on
Game
On Dude. And he was a tough horse, but like I said, Shared Belief at the time, he was the best older horse, 3-year-old and up, actually, at the time, than anything we had in the United States, anyway.
He was world ranked number one. Listen, last thought, you're going to be a part of the Dubai World Cup again. I've never been there. What's that like? What's it like to take that trip, and what's racing like in Dubai?
Well, racing's incredible in Dubai. I mean, it's a fun trip to go to. It's always a lot of fun. So we're hoping that we get there. I'm not 100% sure yet or not if Bob is going to decide to run McKenzie there or not. It's still kind of up in the air. But, well, I hope we get a chance to get back there. It's just incredible. You know, when you're running against, I believe the race is worth $15 million, I believe it is right now. When I won it was 10 at the time with a horse called Arrogate. But now it's up to 15.
Wow.
So, man, I would absolutely love to take a shot at it anyway.
That's a lot of cash. Then you got the Pegasus. Pegasus is something interesting. For those who don't know what that is, what's that race all about?
Well, we just are, you know, it's a young race, you know, and it's worth a lot of money. This year there's two of them. You have the dirt race, and you have a big grass race as well. So the dirt race is $9 million, and the grass race, I believe, is $7 million. Might be six, but it's $7 million, which I'm going to miss both of those, which I'm a little hurt about that. I was kind of hoping to get there as well, but you know, it's a great new race that we have. It's going to take a little bit of time to get the build up for it, but it's starting to come. You know, they're doing a lot of great stuff, a lot of great entertainers that come in for the race and entertain before. I think we got Snoop Dogg this year that's going to come over there and have a little concert, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. But I think in the next several years, you're going to see that day with those two races really grow.
So finally, Mike, those who know, it's a beautiful sport. It's an amazing sport. It's not a perfect sport. It's like anything else. It's got some issues. But if you and I are trying to grow this sport and recruit new people to the sport, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, that's a big question, man. That's a question that everyone asks.
Right.
It's just, doing what we're doing now, to be honest with you, Jim, just talk about it more. If you can get people out there just one time, nine times out of ten, they're gonna become a fan and they're going to enjoy it. It's truly the greatest 2 minutes of sports in the world.
Mike Smith, my guest. He's a Hall of Famer, a leading jockey, talking about all things horse racing. Mike, I appreciate you. Any chance that you and I can get together, I'll take you up on that. And I still need to do dinner with you. I owe you that. We've been talking about that for years. You always come on the show. You won me a couple of Breeders' Cups. You rode the number one ranked horse in the world for us. We need to eat. We need to break bread.
I would absolutely love that. Hopefully, maybe this summer we'll get a chance to.
Sounds good, Mike. Really good to see you. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Smith, one of the best ever. A truly dominant athlete in his field. And we're always going to be grateful for the rides he's given us.